around, and he just writes, and there's some wonderful things we can learn about what our giving, and I'm going to apply it to missionary giving, but for your local church as well, what it really means to us. 2 Corinthians 9. Now it is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints, for I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I'm sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead of you, to you, and arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, in all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the privilege that we have, the freedom that we have here in America, to worship you together. As we think did today of so many men and women down through the years who gave their lives so that we could have this freedom. And we're so thankful for them and so thankful for our country. Now, Lord, we pray as we open your word that you will challenge our hearts, encourage us concerning the ministry that is ours of your people, of serving you. In Christ our Savior's name we pray. Amen. I want to speak to you today about the blessings of our sacrificial offerings, or what it means to a disciple of Christ as they bring their offerings to the Lord. One thing we always specify, in fact, we were listening to our program from Italy. We didn't listen at 4 a.m., which would have been the right time, but we did when we got up. And my son-in-law, Daniel, who you support, as he was announcing the offerings, mentioned, you know, we're not asking the unsaved people who come to the church to give money. And so many people think they're kind of afraid that preacher's going to put his hand right in their pocket, and they're a little afraid about that. But we, as we talk about offerings, we talk about the worship, part of worship, part of our worship. Well, in this portion, we see, first of all, that our offerings are a testimony to others of our faith. And we see this in the text where the other people were going to, had heard of this, these believers and their generosity. And when we are generous with the offerings in the church, it shows that we are ready to share the gospel with others. You know the phrase, put your money where your mouth is? We talk about the lost. We talk about missions. We talk about the need around the world. But what are we doing to meet that need? And, of course, God did not choose to send angels to pronounce the gospel around the world. He chose to call his children to send missionaries around the world. And this takes finances. And as we give, it shows our zeal for the spread of the gospel. We really want to see it happen. And I tell our, I told our people just before we came home, as we, I was sharing this message in Italian, that there are many of God's people who are so burdened to get the gospel to Italy that they go without that new carpet that they need in the home. They go without that new car that they need. They go without so many things so that they can participate in the offering to be able to send money to serve, to help God's servants around the world. And as we think about this, the idea of sacrificially giving, there are just two examples. I'm not going to go there to save time, but I'll mention that some people take it as one episode. It's not. It's two. At the beginning of the Lord's ministry, Earth of Million ministry, a woman of ill repute came, and it wasn't really Mary Magdalene. They kind of like to say it was. It wasn't, probably. But a woman of ill repute came where Jesus was with a very precious ointment and poured it on Jesus' feet. And, of course, you know that the culture back then, when a guest arrived, you didn't offer them coffee. You washed their feet. Well, they hadn't done that. And so this lady came, and she poured this ointment on Jesus' feet, and she dried his feet with her hair. You know, the Bible says that a woman's glory is her hair. And she actually put herself at the Lord's feet and to worship him in that way, thankful for the forgiveness that she had had from him. And then toward the end of Jesus' ministry, he was having dinner with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus in their home, and Mary did the same thing. Once again, an act of thanksgiving. He had given life back to Lazarus and her brother, and so she was so thankful. And you're talking about sacrifice. They say that that oil was worth approximately 1 year's salary for the common laborer. So great sacrifice. And that is a testimony. When the world looks on, and you know, in a church that doesn't preach the gospel, when they pass the offering plate, it's going to clink, 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 clink as the coins drop in. When you pass the offering in a church that preaches the gospel, it's a silent offering. The bills, they don't make a lot of money, a lot of noise when they go in there. And it's a testimony to lost people when the disciples of Jesus are generous toward the work of God around the world. And I think of the sacrifice of God's people for our ministry in Italy. It is incredible. You think we have lived by faith. And people say, well, what does a faith mission mean? Well, it means when we signed up, we didn't get a salary. They just said, go get your support. And what that meant, it was no contract. I mean, people says, God has led us as a local fellowship. We're going to give you $100 a month, or back then it was $15 a month, $20 a month. And we stepped out by faith. And I found the reality of this one time when I desperately needed a loan to get a car in Italy. And I went to the bank, my bank, for 20-some years, and I after a loan. And they said, well, you don't have any income. I said, what do you mean? Every month my money from America comes here through this bank. Yeah, well, who's going to guarantee it's going to come next month? And they couldn't understand that God's people had made a commitment to support us. But that's what God's people over all these years have sacrificed, and we're so thankful for that. We've had special needs. God's people have responded, and you've been a part of that all these years. Secondly, our offerings are a key to God's blessing in our life. In verses 5 and 6, it says, I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go out ahead of you, arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction. And talking about giving, if we want God to bless us, we need to be generous. In verses 5 and 6, it talks about generosity. Our generosity towards God's work and his ministry is the guarantee that God will be generous with us. Now, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. I'm not saying we're going to all get rich. But I'm saying that God will meet our needs. And as we think of offering as a worship, an act of worship, we need to think about the episode in the Lord's life. One day, Jesus with his disciples, they were standing at the entry of the temple, and they were watching people come by with their offerings, and these Pharisees would come up with this big jar of coins, and they would just dump the whole thing down, and the eyes of the disciples were getting big like that. They, wow, those guys are really giving a lot. And Jesus said, you know, see that lady over there? She just put in more than all of them. And she put in what the widow's mite was a little coin. It's as big as the end of your pinky. And literally, the name of that coin means skin. That's how thin it is. That's how small it is. And Jesus said, you know, she gave more than all of those people. Because she, in her poverty, gave all she had. And they, in their wealth, just gave a part. So, and that was actually worth about 2/5 of a penny, really, very little. And as we've ministered in Italy, it's been exciting to see our people learn to be sacrificial in giving. When we first started out, we had no believers. We wanted to have a gospel hall. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, we had to make a contract. We had to pay the rent. How about electricity? We need electricity. We paid all those things, personally. We did, for several years. And we started taking offerings little by little. Church got so it could pay the electrical. That was great. And then the church got so it could pay the rent. Well, that was wonderful. And then the Lord led us to take an incredible step of faith. 20 members, most of them ladies, unsaved husbands, whose job was working, cleaning house, and caring for elderly, and so on. We stepped out by faith and bought a $500,000 property with a building on it. And I remember the night we voted on that, I said, first of all, I want all of you to write on a piece of paper, 20 people, write on a piece of paper how much you will give, with God's help, above what you're already now giving, because we do have expenses every month as it is. And we added it all up, including that half of the building would have been rented, and it was exactly what we were going to need to pay our mortgage. And that's how we started out. And this past a year ago, January, we finished it up, got our mortgage paid off, but through the sacrificial giving of God's people. And people say, well, why do you still need money from us? Your church is bigger than ours. Well, our people are not wealthy. The average wage of a good job would be about $1,500 a month. A good job. And so our people are not able to do a lot, which is the television, for example, that we can do thanks to the giving of God's people here in America. But they are learning to give sacrificially. Our offerings also reflect our communion with God. And it's interesting, verses 7 to 9, where it says, as it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. And then back in verse 7, each one must give as he has decided in his heart. Now, I'm not an emotional guy, and I'm not for stirring up emotions. I'm trusting God to call people to serve him in Italy, but he won't do that because I talked somebody into doing it. We've had a lot of that. Somebody got talked into it, and they came and lasted a year, okay? But we leave that up to God. But as we preach and as we give, we shouldn't give because on the spur of the moment we got all stirred up about something. It's something that should have been decided this morning in our devotions, this morning in our prayer time, what our giving would be. But remember that God loves a generous giver. And this word generous means hilarious. Oh, I can't wait to get there. I remember one time I had an opportunity. A Christian boxer. You said, really? Yeah, well, that was a sport. And he explained it to me. He was in Perugia doing a title fight, a world title fight. And they contacted me. I led a journalist to do some interviews, but they found out I was a pastor. And comes to find out, the whole group, most of the group, are all born-again Christians. So I got to spend a lot of time with this boxer. And before the fight, well, he lost the fight on points. As he came down from the ring and we were walking together back to the dressing room, he said, here he just got beaten in this big fight. He says, Fred, I can't wait to get home and put my tithe in the offering. It's going to be awesome. And his first thought after this fight was he's going to give back to God some of what he'd gotten for coming over for that fight. Well, God blesses a generous giver when we just can't wait to give something to God. God provides every need of a generous giver. He blesses a generous giver, provides every need. Now, many times, you know, we get to the end of the month and we don't have money to pay for our satellite dish, or we don't have money to pay for our second car's insurance or something, our timeshare home somewhere else, and we're kind of worried about the money. And well, God's promised he'd supply our needs. Well, if we look at Philippians, that promise, Philippians 4:19, is given to Christians who had given so much they didn't know how they were going to pay the electric bill next month, but they'd given it to God through the Apostle Paul. And Paul said, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. As my dad used to say, and my dad was a pastor for 52 years, as my dad would say, you cannot outgive God. The more you give to God, the more he gives to you. And what it is for believers to walk in that kind of a relationship with him, enjoying his blessing in their lives. So Psalm 112 is an interesting psalm, and it's quoted here. And the context of Psalm 112, let's take a second and go back there. The context of Psalm 112 is a generous giver, someone who is generous toward the Lord. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with a man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice, for the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. Here's the wicked man looking on this generous believer and says, why does he have so much and he's so generous? I keep everything for myself and I get less and less all the time. The righteous sowed generously. He gave to the needy. And the righteous is blessed eternally. Now, we're not blessed eternally because we give. But as believers, we give. And as believers, we will be blessed eternally. And I think back so many times we had needs. When the Lord opened the TV, we'd had money to do that. And God's people responded. When the Lord opened the radio to us, we didn't have money. God responded through his people. And when we took that step of faith about buying property, we had gifts from our churches in America that helped us pay our, put our down payment on it when we got our loan. So God was so good and has been so good through the generosity of his people. Now, as we give our offerings are a way of reinvesting that which God has provided to us. Now, we're big in recycling, right? And when we give to God, we're recycling. We're giving back to him what he has put, given us. And so, well, where does God get his money? Well, it's in our pockets. It's in our pockets. And as we give back to God, we are recycling what he has given to us. My dad used to always say, if you're giving while you're living, you're knowing where it's going. And so many times, even in Christian homes, we accumulate, thinking for our family, for our future. And then when we're gone, what we have left creates division in the family that will never be overcome because of rivalry, because of jealousy, anger. My mom did something very wise. My dad went to be with the Lord, and they were not rich at all, but they did have a house, a couple, a trailer, and some different things. When my mom rewrote her will, she designated how she wanted things divided up, and at the very bottom of it, it said, if anyone contests this will, they get nothing. Well, you could believe when we were all with the lawyers reading, and she's reading the will, oh, she gave that to you, that's wonderful. We were all happy because we didn't want to risk being put in that list of people who would get nothing because we contested. Well, what I'm saying is this. We need, as God's people, to be distributing what we have while we're alive, designating it while we're alive so that any uncertainty that doesn't create tragedy in the family that is going to be missing us. Offerings, our offerings produce thanksgiving in others. Think about this. In verse 11, I got better go back to my text here. In verse 11, it says, you will be enriched in every way. So to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. It's precious when our people in Italy thank God for the Christians in America. They're never going to meet you until heaven. But isn't that going to be exciting when they come up to you and say, did your church support the Whitmans? They brought us the gospel. Thank you so much for your investment in our ministry. In every way. And generosity brings rejoicing and brings thanksgiving. Brings thanksgiving. Back to the church building God gave us. It was a dream. I remember the night that I announced, I was just leaving for furlough, and I said, while I'm in the States, I'm going to ask God's people to help us so we can buy our own building. 20 members. And they looked at me like, what have you been smoking? What do you mean? What's going to happen? How could we were in a storefront 950 square feet, about half of one of this, a side of one of these auditorium, for 33 years. And I said, no, we're going to trust God. He's going to get us property. And you know, as soon as we were able to move on to that new property, I mean, it was so, we had no heat. It was terrible. We were cold, put these little heaters. But our attendance doubled in like a year and a half because we're out of that little place. And that was all possible because of the believers in America who trusted God with us, sacrificing to take that step of faith. Our offerings will also glorify God. Did you think about that? Our offerings are part of worship. Now, just morning, as Rachel read these verses, in 2 Samuel 24:24, David was burdened to buy a piece of land to build an altar to the Lord. And a very prominent piece of property, which now is where they put the temple later on. But when he went to talk to the man about the land, the man said, well, you're going to do this for the Lord? Well, I'll just give you the land. And David says, no, I will not give to the Lord something that doesn't cost me anything. I want a sacrifice for the Lord. So part of our worship is sacrificing to the Lord, sacrificing. Our offering gives other peoples a motivation to be thankful for God. As we worship God in our giving, on the other end, there are people, and I wish you could visit our church. I'm going to do another tour in this fall, 2022, but where we stop for a weekend at our church to see our believers and to realize that in our church fellowship, over half of those people came to know the Lord or heard about our ministry through the television or the radio ministry. That was a great investment in money every month. Just the radio was like $5,000 a month to keep that going. That's why we had to close it in 2019 because we just didn't have the funds anymore to do it. But the TV is going on. And when you see people who have come to Christ and you had a little part in getting the gospel to them, that is a great blessing. It's interesting in Ephesians 4 when Paul's talking about generosity, he says, let him that stole steal no more. Obviously, if you've been saved, you're going to change life. And when we have our prison ministry, that's important for us to know that the guys, when they leave, they are new people in Christ. They're not going to go back to what they were before. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Why should he get a job? So he can enjoy everything material that he can get for himself? No, he needs to get a job so he'll have money to help others who are in need. So our offerings glorify God. And I remember one of our brothers, he's with the Lord now, Tiziano. He was on heroin for 20 years before he got saved. Day and night. He never went to a clinic. He just came off heroin when he got saved. But he was, when he got baptized, he got out of the baptism and he said, oh, Pastor, I forgot. My wallet was in my pocket. I said, praise God! When you got baptized, your wallet got baptized too, because you're going to be supporting the ministry and investing what you have in God's work, glorifying him with your money. Now, our offerings also demonstrate our obedience to the gospel. You know, when we talk about the gospel, we're saved by grace. Well, that's true. But if really, we really believe it, all of us is saved. Our whole life, our whole essence is God's. So God is glorified in our obedience to the gospel. And part of this obedience, we see this in verse 13, where he says, verse 13, so I focus my eyes on it here, talks about they will be ministering in the gospel. From your confession of the gospel of Christ, our generosity is the proof that we've been saved, that we really are thankful for the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus for us on the cross. So God is glorified in our obedience. God is glorified in our generosity. He's glorified by that. If we believe that there is only salvation through the Lord Jesus, why wouldn't we be willing to sacrifice so that that gospel can be spread around the world? In my book, there's a section of a book written by my step great grandfather, who, when he came back from missionary work in Brazil in the 1890s, he lived in Wellsville and wrote a book about his experiences. In that book, he talks about the believers, saying to the believers, how can you spend so much money on pets, on niceties of life, and realize that so little in our churches is being given to get the gospel around the world? It doesn't make sense if we really believe the gospel. Our offerings also produce prayer for and love toward us. You imagine as we walk through heaven's gate to meet believers who have come to Christ because of our sacrificial giving to get the gospel to them. What a blessing that's going to be. Years ago, there was a song, Thank You. You probably remember that depicts the scene in heaven. And what a joy to be able to meet people there and know that the sacrifice they made to get you the gospel. And that's what we're looking forward to. Now, as we give, as people come to know Christ around the world, thanks to our generosity, those people are praying for us, and we have them pray for you people in America. We tell them, it's harder in America right now than it is in Italy. Believe me, we feel like we have more freedom in Italy than you do here. Believe it. And they're praying for you. And the struggles in the local churches, they're praying for you. Well, they wouldn't be doing that if you hadn't had an investment in their lives. And then they're thanking God for you. And they're saying, if those people were willing to sacrifice so that I could get the gospel, I need to sacrifice so that others can get the gospel as well. I just think what a thrill heaven's going to be. We can't imagine. We can't imagine what it's going to be like to meet people who have been saved by God's grace, who were reached through our efforts, missionary efforts, our testimony. What a thrill. And finally, our offerings express our thanks to God for the offering of his only begotten Son. You can never wicked Israel, well, God, I would give you more, but you haven't given that much for me. And I didn't list all these verses, but it's interesting in this portion where it talks about this last quotation, thanks be to God, and in the King James, for his unspeakable gift. Well, it's inexpressible. We can't even express the importance of God's gift. What was God's gift for us? John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave his most precious thing, his Son. And when we worship God with our tithes, with our offerings, we're giving back a portion to God, just saying thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for what you gave for us. So For God so loved the world that he gave. And our love for God will be demonstrated and has been demonstrated. And I commend you for your generosity in so many ways. And I can't repeat how important it has been for us to be able to have a nice place to stay while here in America. And believe me, I'd love to be here every Sunday, but you know, I have a job to do. I have to be out there preach every week. But we're so glad the Lord kept this Sunday open so we could be here with you, and what a blessing. So we pray for you. We thank God for you. And the believers of Italy, thank God for you and for your generosity. And trust that God will bless you in the future as we continue to serve God and sacrifice together for his ministry around the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your love, for your grace in calling us to salvation. We were your enemies. We were far from you. But in our sin, you sent your Son to die in our place. And we're so thankful for that. Help us, Lord, as we worship you, to do it in spirit and truth. Help us in our lives to exemplify the sacrificial love that you showed for us as we would give back to you a part of what you've given to us. Thank you for this church, for their generosity all these years. And I want to pray for them in a very special way in this time when you've called several of your saints to yourself. And you've led others to relocate, and we understand getting out of New York State. But ask that you just bless the ones who remain, encourage them as we seek to reach out and reach others for the gospel, we pray. In Christ our Savior's name, amen.